Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
On the fan, McMonagle here with you for a 5-hour midnight ride on this Friday morning. We made it. Oh, did we make it? What a week! I don't know why. You know it's a good week when the voice goes that. What a week! What a week we had here on the fan here in New York City. 888-808-1019. We got one more day. We got 5 more hours of it. At least I do. As we take you to the warm-up show at 5 a.m., we still got Connor Green on the other side for a little bit. Rocking a very Aaron Boone-like short sleeve Yankee hoodie. Fliegelman will join us in a second, but it's me and you for 5 hours taking your calls to the warm-up show at 5 a.m. And obviously, we are still basking in the glow of what has been the two greatest wins that we have seen in a quarter century from our New York Knicks. And obviously, now we start to turn. Yesterday was the celebration. Really, we've had two celebration shows after both games. You want to just enjoy it, take it in. You can't fathom. I still can't fathom. And that's part of what we'll get to, because I don't think anyone can fathom what we saw over these two games. And the nature of both of them being so similar, and the 20-point leads and 20-point deficits, rather, coming back, the amount of threes missed by Boston, the way they played down the stretch, didn't make a basket for 8 minutes, the final play, the defense, everything, the way the final plays look so similar, where it's literally Mikal Bridges just taking the ball and taking the victory from the Boston Celtics in the final moments. And, you know, now we turn from celebration to how the hell do we do this? Because it becomes quite apparent, right? We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Obviously, it goes without saying. Now the Knicks are expected to win this series. Now you have to go out and win the series and finish it off and not just have the nice story of the first two games of the series and then ultimately be a story of disappointment. Because I don't think anybody would have been disappointed or overly disappointed or devastated by losing a series to the Boston Celtics. But now that's on the table. What is on the table now is the gut punch. What we are now fearful of is we transition from the excitement and jubilation and unbelievable excitement of what happened over the first two games. Now we start to realize, well, hey, man, this could be freaking brutal. Can you imagine they lose this thing now? Oh, my God, I'm going to be sick to my stomach off of those two wins. How could they lose this thing now? They can't lose this thing now. So I want to push back on one thing, though, because I think we all agree. Now they have to go win it, 100%. But this is now a series, and that's how I view it. The Boston Celtics are defending champs. They're not going to roll over and die. I would be very surprised if that's the case. This is now going to be a series. What it takes when you are the underdog, the level the Knicks are. when the Boston Celtics are defending champs, kick the crap out of the Knicks the entire regular season, when all that happens, all those two games do, now it's a series. What wasn't a series, what was a pushover, what was a fait accompli, what was just a nuisance or whatever for the Boston Celtics just to make their way to the Eastern Conference Finals, a little, you know, weekend in New York before they make their way to the Eastern Conference Finals, now has become a knock-em-out, drag-em-out fight. And I like the Knicks in a fight. I like this Knick team in a fight. I think that's what we've learned. So I want to push back on one narrative. And I'm not saying I know more basketball than Shaquille O'Neal or Charles Barkley or anybody else for that matter. But I've heard it all day, and I've been sitting around besides, you know, sleeping and taking care of the kids and getting my son off the bus when he wouldn't wake up. Oh, that's a fun little story we'll get to a little bit later at 888-808-1019. But I've been stewing, thinking about the narrative that the Knicks must win game number three. Because you know what? I feel like they've earned enough to stop. I feel like it's now disrespectful. Because I came on the air and said, game number one, got to win game number one. It's very important to win game number one. Then I came on and said, well, game number two, you want to make sure it's this. You want to make sure it's that. Send a message. Make a statement. Do this. And even if they lose, it's got to be a tough start battle. Blah, blah, blah. Like, we kept on saying what the Knicks needed to do. What the Knicks needed to do. They've done it. They showed they can win when they're down 20. They showed they're the better team in the fourth quarter. They've answered our questions about how tough they are. Mikal Bridges has answered questions about how valuable he is and what he's capable of. Leon Rose has answered questions about this group specifically to beat this team and how he put it together. The coach has answered questions about whether or not he can make adjustments. The idea of the two bigs on the floor at the same time with Mitchell Robinson, how tough they are in the fourth quarter. Even the minutes question that we've had for the entire course of the regular season has answered itself because they are the best team in the fourth quarter without question in almost every game they have played this year. They've proven they can win on the road. They have proved everything. Like, that's what these two wins have done as well. They've proved everything. I have zero more questions about this Knicks team other than can they finish it off, because we know how good the Celtics are. This isn't easy. No one's guaranteeing victories, but I believe in this team now. I am no longer questioning whether or not I'll love it as much as last year's team. Because, oh, last year's team we just fell in love with. I love this team now. How do you not love this team now? Oh, last year's team was just a grittier thing. If this year's team played last year's team would sweep this team. And all the crap, I'm done with all of that. I love this team. I believe in this team. They have answered my questions about their grittiness, their toughness, everything. Everything. Brunson's healthy. Brunson's a closer. Even Karl Anthony Towns didn't have great games here and a couple of really bad ones in Detroit. But he stepped up in these games against the Celtics. He kept them in the first half in game number two. He makes big plays. I have faith in everything. So why, oh why, do I feel like they have to win game three or otherwise this series is like, no. They can't overcome losing a game three. They can overcome back-to-back nights in Boston being down 20 points. But they couldn't overcome losing. This is a must-win game for the New York Knicks. And then even if they win game three, game four, I'm sure we'll hear the same crap. Oh, must-win game four. You don't even want to give them breath. Then they head back to Boston. Before you know it, you're back at the Garden with all the pressure on you. Of course pressure changes. Of course, as you go through it. Now there's less pressure. Now the Celtics can kind of go, well, people don't expect us to win, and we're going to blow it. So let's just, now we can play free and easy on the road. We've been a better road team. Of course, the dynamics of the series change. It's going to happen three or four times over the next 2 days. Like, yes, momentum changes. Things change. Do I want them to win this game? Absolutely. Do they have a better chance of winning the series if they win game number three? Yes. But if they lose it, do I lose faith? If they lose game number three, do I think they are destined to lose game number four? I think we all agree you don't want to have the series tied again. You want to go to game five, bare minimum, with an opportunity to seal the deal in game five. That's the pressure you want to put on the Boston Celtics. Absolutely. You do not want this series back 2-2 after losing two straight home games. The momentum would completely have changed into the manner of the Boston Celtics. Yeah, of course. But even then, haven't they showed us enough? Aren't these two nights that we've been, you know, praising them and going over everything they've done, all their accomplishments, haven't they shown us that they're the ability of changing momentum? The ability of fighting back? Like, that's the only thing. Like, we can't praise them all day long and then say they must win the game. Yeah, listen, I'd like them to win the game. It would be very important. It would be a huge benefit. They'd be in a much better standing. But they don't have to. You know why? Because I believe in them. And I trust them. And they have shown us their toughness and being down, losing this game at home and having to play a game four with a lot more pressure on it. I trust them to show up in that spot. And sure, do you want to sweep the series? I'd love to sweep the series. That'd be great. Do you expect that? Like, honestly, I know the Celtics look like a complete mess. And I was harping on it all morning long yesterday about fouling Mitchell Robinson just to get him off the floor. And that proves that they are completely lost in this series. And obviously now Mazzulla's under the hot seat, the bright lights, even after winning an NBA championship last year. Like, they look like a shell of themselves. They've missed 75 three-pointers over the last two games. And went the last 8 minutes with a dunk from Tatum. Otherwise, they had no field goals in the last 8 minutes of the game. So, yeah. Boston's in a certain way right now, and you want to keep that pressure on. And ultimately, I would love to win this game. It would obviously increase the likelihood of them winning this series. But when we say they have to, when we say that suddenly the pressure will change, and I don't know if they can handle it, or if they say, well, once you let Boston in the door, then I don't know, then we don't really believe in them the way we're saying we believe in them. You win those two games, now you put yourself in the driver's seat of a series. It doesn't mean that that driver's seat or that ride is going to be nothing but straight sailing. It doesn't mean that it's going to be cruise control 70 miles an hour on a straightaway as I drive down to Florida with the kids. Like, it could be bumpy. The kids might get hungry. They might be screaming in the back, arguing over tablets. I'm well aware. This is now a series. This is now a battle. This is now a fight. If they would have lost these two games, it would have felt like, hey, they're just not as good as the Celtics. Next year, they got to build a different bench. And next year, they got to do this. And next year, they got to do that. Now, these two games have made it so that the Knicks are in a fight with the Boston Celtics, and they've proved to be better fighters over the first two. And I don't want to hear Shaq or Barkley or anybody else tell me that, oh, the Knicks better win this game. Why? Why do the Knicks have to win game three? Because we don't trust them in game four if they don't? I do. They have won me over. I believe in them. And even if they hit a speed bump here and the Boston Celtics take a game, I'm not giving up. Do they have to win the series? Yeah, I admit that. Yes, they have to win the series. I think that's obvious. If they lose the series now, it's utter depression. It's a devastating loss. Losing in five to the Celtics, it wouldn't have been devastating. It would have been we weren't good enough. And how do we get better? And sure, it's frustrating. And any opportunity, I agree. There's no such thing as house money. You want to make it. You get into these series, you want to win them. So there would have been disappointment no matter what happened, but now devastation's on the table. Now we've put ourselves in a position, we've been riding high enough, we've experienced two historic, unbelievable victories, and we're fearful of the feeling of, oh my God, we just blew an opportunity, oh my God, we had this series, oh my God, we had those two games, what happened to this team? And I get that. And of course, they have to win this series. But they have to take one of these two. And even if they lose both at home, I'll be disappointed. I'll feel like the momentum is completely shifted. And now game five is probably the winner of this game, wins the series. We'll have that conversation. But I trust this Knick team. I believe in this Knick team. They've got to play better. There's a myriad of ways that the Knicks can play better. There's a ton. They can shoot the foul shot better. They can stop turning the ball over. They can get out of quicker starts. OG Anunoby was terrible offensively. Mikal Bridges could get off to a better start shooting the basketball. Like, no doubt, offensively, they really haven't played all that well except for the final minutes at the end of the game. Of course, they can play better. They have not really played all that well in these two games. So there's a lot to improve upon, but now they're just in a series, man. They are right there. There's no more major advantage. There's no more the Celtics are far better. There's no more, you know, there's a pipe dream that they could ever beat the Boston Celtics. This is now a fight. And they have to get two before Boston gets four. Bare minimum. That's the bottom line. They don't have to get this next one. They don't have to get the one after that. They have to get two more before Boston gets four. And what I take away from the first two victories are that I am now all in. And that I believe in this team. And I think they can overcome anything. Whether it be 20-point deficits in the third quarter or whether it be losing a game three. So I'm pumped for Saturday, 3:30. It's a huge game. It's a game where if the Knicks take it and take a 3-0 commanding lead in this series, you feel like it might be a sweep. I'm not trying to diminish the importance of a Game 3 victory. I'm not trying to tell you it's meaningless. I'm not trying to tell you the Knicks aren't better served for it. I'm not trying to tell you they got to come out and match the energy of a desperate Boston Celtic team that's fighting for their lives. Yes, all of that. And I expect it. But I'm not going to give up on them the first time or the first sign of Boston showing up or the first sign of adversity. They have proven to me they can overcome adversity. And so I'm sitting at home listening to the radio, watching TV, and everybody's telling me they better win game three. All right. That's fine. Not for me. For me, they better win the series. For me, I trust them if they lose game three. For me, they've answered all the questions that I had about this group. And I look forward to game three, game four, and if necessary, game 5, 6, 7. 888-808-1019. But we are in the midst of Nick time. We'll get to everything else. We'll get to the baseball. We had games the other night, obviously, that we didn't get a chance to talk about, including what I think will be a huge, huge boost of confidence and what ultimately should be the turning point of the young season for Devin Williams. We'll get to that. The Mets, the series against the Cubs coming up, and then obviously we get ready for this time next week as we will get ready for the Subway Series.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
12:23. I'm feeling frisky. The Frisky Friday. That sounded a lot like Maxwell on the broadcast last night. So, yeah, it's starting to set in, right? We got a day away from the jubilation. Now it's like, well, what if we blow this damn thing? And I can understand why. The Celtics aren't going anywhere. I'd be surprised. Like, look, I know they had two miserable games. I know they look lost at the end of it. It's a tough thing to overcome. Tatum is obviously banged up a little bit. There's, you know, Brown's dealing with something. Obviously, Porzingis. The Knicks have the advantage, and you want to take advantage of it, no doubt. Again, I want to make sure I'm clear. It's not like I want them to lose game number three or that I'll be okay with it. I'm just saying, like, when you say you have to, like, this Knick team just went into Boston, took these two games in historic fashion. Down 20. Now, you don't want to fall behind 20 points ever again. Hopefully that's the last time they fall behind 20 points in this series. But they fall behind 20 points in both these games on the road. Come back in you know, just with these unbelievable runs, you know, 21-2 runs. Get the big shots, make the big plays, just own the game defensively. Just these two great, historic, heroic wins that make us feel different about this team. Make us forget all the questions we had about this team, or at least feel like we've had those questions answered. Tibbs is coaching his ass off. Anyone who's concerned about that, like, he's had an incredible two games in this series. Like, every question has been answered. And now you're telling me they have to win this game? When we say have to, that means you think they'll lose if they don't. Are we at that point where we think they'll lose if they don't? We throw around words like must and have to. The Knicks have to win this series. Plain and simple, they have to win the series. But I have faith in them. Whatever happens, until they're eliminated, I'm going to have faith that they're going to find a way. Because that's what they've done the first two games. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Shell in Staten Island. What's up, Shell?
Hey, what's going on, dude? How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you? Happy Friday to you, sir.
Oh, man. It's been a lovely week, man. The Knicks have been doing everything that we thought they wouldn't do and more. And I got to be honest with you, man. I hear a lot of people talking left and right about, oh, yeah, the Celtics, they missed 75 threes. Yep. The Celtics didn't play their best game. You know, it seems to me like every time the Knicks seem to defy the odds, everybody just seems to make excuses for the other team. And it's starting to get a little annoying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially down at the Detroit series, back when they were arguing about the whole foul call on Tim Hardaway. Like, listen, they shouldn't have been in that position in the first place, but, you know, like everyone else, let's put it on the Knicks and, you know, give an excuse as to why they won. But that's not the reason why I'm calling, man. I'm calling because, you know, I'm watching these games and I'm looking at the Knicks. The Knicks, we're still due for one, you know, a classic Brunson 30-40 point game per series. Still hasn't happened. Karl Anthony Towns, though he did play efficiently yesterday's game, we still haven't seen him have one of his explosive games. And the way I look at the series, man, it almost kind of reminds me of back during maybe like 10 years ago. Remember when the Grizzlies had Randolph and Gasol, and they were the eighth seed, and they took on the Spurs, and they ended up eliminating them when everyone thought they were out of, you know, they had no chance.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of the same sort of thing. And realistically, man, when it comes to this style, you know, it's like they say styles make fights. Physicality overcomes finesse more often than not, unless you're the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
But the truth is, man, the Knicks have yet to still play one of their premier games. And, you know, what we're doing right now is what no one's talking about is that we're forcing Boston to play our game towards the end of games. You know what I mean? As opposed to just kind of cruising on the momentum that they ride and hoping that we beat them at what they do.
Right.
You know, we don't have nearly the amount of 3-point shooters that they do, but what we do have are guys that know how to take smart shots and timely shots when their number is called. And at the end of the day, you know, when you take into account Porzingis' status is so far up in the air, man, you might need a telescope to see it. We don't know what's going on as far as Jaylen Brown's overall health. They're not playing the Celtics aren't playing like how we've been used to seeing them all year. And to be honest with you, I have to sit here and believe that, you know, maybe one game it's a fluke, but now it's two games is a decent enough sample size in a 7-game series to know that the Knicks are capable of dragging them into deep waters and making them play their style of basketball, which the Celtics obviously aren't used to playing because they don't get to the foul line. They don't take enough, they don't take enough high percentage shots. It almost kind of feels like they're, you know, they're like the poor man's Golden State Warriors when you watch them play, and when they're not hitting shots, they just can't get it.
No, there's no I forgot who said it and used the word layers, and I thought that there's no other layer to their offense. They tried early on in the game. Brown tried to get to the basket, but ultimately their game is their game, and I expect it. Like, that's not going to change. Like, the Celtics are going to take, like, they took 43s in game two. They're going to take 43s. Like, they're going to probably more. They've averaged 48 threes per game this year. So they're going to take at least 43s. That's their game. And I don't expect that to change just because they didn't win two games. They won a championship with it last year. They had the season they had with it the last year. It made them the favorites in this series. I don't think they're going to suddenly change who they are. I don't think you can when you get into this kind of game. So I still expect them to shoot threes. Now, can they make an emphasis on trying to get to the basket a little bit more? Sure. And get to the foul line more, as you said? Yeah, they might, but they're still going to shoot a ton of threes because that's who they are. And when the threes don't fall, and the Knicks make it difficult for them with their perimeter defense, whether it be OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, or even Mitchell Robinson, who was stepping out off screen switches, like, it makes it difficult for them. I mean, they missed wide open shots, too. I don't want to make it seem like the Knicks were in their face for every shot. They're clearly struggling shooting the ball, missing wide open shots as well. But the defense has been far better than what we saw in the regular season against it. I think Tibbs held back some different strategies, and I think that's a real interesting point of this series about how Tibbs really kind of waited for this series to pull some things out of his hat and didn't show that during the course of the regular season. But, yeah. No, they're able to dictate the way the game is played at the end of it. They've been able to do that for these two games. And that's why, like, it's like borderline disrespectful to me. Like, when we're this excited about the team, and we're this happy about how they played, and we can't believe what they've just accomplished. So I turn around and say, well, they have to win game three. And then I'm sure if they win game three, it'll be, oh, they have to win game four. Like, it's a series. I don't expect, as much as I agree with the issues that the Celtics have, no Porzingis, or at least a really, really severely compromised Porzingis. Same thing with Brown, has not looked like himself. I mean, he's out there, he's playing, he's logging legitimate minutes, and he actually had a really good start to game number two, but clearly doesn't look the same, and his shot is, I mean, nothing's falling for him outside of getting to the rim. And Tatum clearly is having a miserable first couple shooting days. But they're the Boston. I mean, I would be very surprised that they don't make this a series. It's going to be a series. The Knicks are in a fight still. This is not they're not going to sweep the Boston Celtics. This is going to be a very difficult series still yet to win. But like, I want to win game three. I'm just like, I don't know if they necessarily have to. I expect them to battle. But, and to your point, like, they could do a hell of a lot better. The Knicks can play a hell of a lot better. You could see, you know, more offensive efficiency, and they can hit the shot too. And yeah, they are due. Like, there's going to be a game where Brunson just finds it and feels it from the beginning. Like, and he'll put up his 40-point game, his 35 to 40-point game. They need that from him. They're going to need that. They're still going to need all the things that they typically need to win games, but, like, now they're in a fight. And we'll see if they can continue this style of play. I don't want them to fall behind. I don't think that's a recipe for success, obviously. So they've got to do things to keep the games closer. And they've got to come out and match the energy that I'm sure Boston will bring to Madison Square Garden, a team that's been better on the road in the Boston Celtics. And it's going to be a crazy atmosphere Saturday, 3:30. I cannot wait for Saturday, 3:30. Like, I can't wait. Thankfully, my son's baseball game is at 10 a.m. I'll be home, relaxed. I'll have a martini waiting. I just ordered my olive juice. It's coming in the mail. It should be here by Saturday. Should be here by tomorrow. I ordered it yesterday, so hopefully it's there by tomorrow. I'm ready to go. I am pumped for Saturday. And look, I mean, I think the crowd is going to be crazy. I guess I heard think I heard Loogie talking about it, and he mentioned that what's his name? Jeez, I listened to his podcast and show too, Knicks TV. They were talking about the last game when the tickets were this expensive that the crowd kind of felt a little bit, you know, not as ruckus. And I know the tickets are crazy expensive for Saturday 3:30, but I would think, like, for me, when I think of different places like Yankee Stadium or even Citi Field, like, it's more of, you know, there's so many games played there and you can get cheaper tickets. And, you know, the crowds there for a normal Tuesday night game or whatever are pretty much the everyday person. And so I could understand when the tickets skyrocket that you're like, oh man, Yankee Stadium might not sound the same, or Citi Field might not sound the same. But even with expensive prices, even when the Knicks were terrible, that garden was always filled. Like, it's the place to go. Madison Square Garden. Like, I still expect, even with crazy astronomical ticket prices, I think that that building is going to be crazy come tomorrow. Crazy. And they're going to have to match the energy of a Boston Celtic team that needs to win game number three. The Boston Celtics need to win game number three. And when we say the Knicks have to, it makes me feel a little bit like, you know, are we going to be the are we going to be the people in Boston who are still calling? You know, I heard Keith playing the sound. It's been all over Twitter about, you know, the Boston radio saying the Knicks are trash. They've always been trash. They're still trash. It's pretty much just, and it's because of the nature. I talked about this after game one. You want to stamp game one with game two because game one felt like a fluke. And game two is the exact carbon copy. Now, I think it's patently ridiculous to call the back-to-back performances like that fluke when they did it twice in a row on consecutive games. It doesn't feel very fluky to me, but it's such a dynamic of them missing shots, blowing 20-point leads, collapsing down the stretch of the game, that it's still viewed as some sort of miraculous win, that if the Celtics play their game, they still can't handle the Knicks, and the Knicks can't just get by with this, you know, coming back from 20 points down, and eventually they're going to get snake bit. Like, I think a lot of people around the NBA probably still feel that the Boston Celtics are going to win this series. So whenever let's go. Stamp game two's win with stamp three. But I'm tired of that. I'm tired of saying that. I said that for the first two games about sending a message and the importance. The message has been sent. The Boston Celtics are in for a fight. That message has been sent loud and clear. The Knicks went in their building and took two games. They have a 2-0 lead in this 7-game series. The message has been sent. Now it's just a fight. And you've got to match their intensity. But I trust this team. They've answered my questions about their toughness. They've answered my questions about the coach. They've answered my questions about the minutes. They've answered my questions about Mikal Bridges. They've answered my questions. I trust them. I trust them. And to dismiss it by saying, oh, well, if momentum shifts, momentum's going to shift. Momentum shifted with 4 minutes left in the third quarter of game two when they were down 20. The momentum shifted, and everybody said, well, here we go. Here come the Celtics. Here comes the ass-kicking that the Knicks should have gotten game one, and the rest of the series will look like this. That's what everybody was thinking with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. The Knicks proved they can handle momentum shifts, and I look forward to them doing it on Saturday.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees Radio, The Fan.
I was just talking with Fleegs. Obviously, the worldwide news of the Pope, the new Pope, an American Pope, Pope Leo, which my sister-in-law is thrilled because my nephew, actually his godfather, is Leo. So, very excited to have a Pope Leo. But obviously, there's like this sports connection. One, he's the... obviously, a United States born in Chicago, went to Villanova, so clearly grew up a Cubs fan, went to Villanova, so clearly, you know, I don't understand how you could think the Knicks need to win game number 3 when God is on their side, but, I mean, and that's it for, you know, Villanova God jokes with the Knicks.
Do you think, though, there's a chance that he's been, like, keeping it, maybe not closely watching, but... keeping an eye on those Nova guys maybe. Because he was a fan when they won the championship. Like, you know, he's just kind of hoping the Knicks won.
Yeah,
you know, sure. Checking out what happened yesterday. Did they win last night?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? I could say there's nothing against being a sports fan. I don't think he would intervene. I don't know if he would put prayer time towards it, but I don't know. And then obviously a fan at the Vatican for the announcement and the white smoke in a Mets hat has gone viral. So the Met fan is there, and now we know, as Fleegs joked with me, it was a good line, now we know the first gimmick of the Mets season. Gimmicks are very important to the Mets. And the first one is now you've got a guy at the Vatican Mets. Never mind. But yeah, that's the new gimmick, the Pope Mets.
The Lord's Mets.
The Lord's Mets. That's it. The Lord's Mets.
I've never seen a championship. Whatever works.
Yeah. I'll pull any string, whatever it takes.
But whatever gets me across the finish line.
I did see a take, too. I think it was from KFC from Barstool that I happen to agree with. And this is like, the vote happened so quickly. I felt like there was a lot of, like, people were very interested. The movie Conclave came out last year or 2 years ago, whenever it came out. Like, obviously, this happened 13 years ago. We've talked about it on the station because I was on Mike's show when Mike was covering it, and that lasted days and days, and it built up. It felt like this was very quick, and the Vatican missed an opportunity for PR. Like, it could have been a story for a while. Catholic Church could have gotten a lot of publicity over the last, you know, next couple of weeks, but that was very quick to elect a pope. But first American-born pope ever, and he's a Villanova grad, or at least went to Villanova grad, I believe. And so now the Knicks are in the graces, and so are the Mets. As a Met fan, flew down to Italy. I was listening to someone tell the story that apparently last minute didn't tell anybody, just went down to Italy, went to the Vatican wearing a Met hat. Anything that works.
So the bells ringing in the St. Peter's Basilica as we have named a pope.
We have named a pope, and it is Pope Leo. And apparently Dog had...
That would be it. Would it be an American pope? That would be a long, long, long shot.
Long shot to be an American pope. But it happened. There was also Dolan. I think it's Timothy Dolan was a cardinal from New York. He's been I don't know if he's from New York, but he's worked in New York for sure. But there was always this kind of notion that they wouldn't elect an American pope. But they have. He was not. I think he was like down the list when you handed me the favorites that day. Was it you or someone handed me the betting favorites of the Pope when it first got announced?
That was me.
It was you, yeah, yeah.
I want to check if he was on this because he was not on the one short list, and
yeah.
The Pope picked last time was not on Mike's short list, so
really?
Maybe they're just good at going against everybody's expectations.
Yeah, they're going against the grain, yeah. But apparently...
He's not on Paul Rosenberg's short list, and he likes to pretend he's, you know, Pauly Pope around here.
Well, he's into this kind of niche stuff. He likes to grasp on to this kind of... thing where he'll get into this. He'll get into obviously dogs, rain and weather and hockey, unfortunately. But apparently Russo had someone on to break down the election of the Pope. And apparently there was some fun sound there. Maybe we'll get to it in a little bit. But let's hope he is a Villanova fan. Let's hope he is aware of Brunson and Hart and Bridges. And that he's pulling for the Knicks, and the Knicks have one big fan in the corner. All right, I mean, I guess we'll just do the Dog sound now. Let's see here. So apparently, give me the background here. So Dog had a friend, a childhood friend who was a priest when he was younger. Okay, so this is So he had a friend who was a priest when he was younger. I guess Dog intros him. So he has someone on to open his show to break down the election of the choosing of the first ever American born. Pope.
Rob Kegren, of course, he's our pal. Vatican, lived there for 5 years. He was a Catholic priest for a long period of time. Defrocked, and then, of course, ended up in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Did he? That's so dumb.
From the Vatican City to Rapid City in South Dakota.
Yeah. But it's just, everything else was like just normal. First he introduced him and goes, of course, like the audience would know exactly who he is. And then he starts saying, well, he was in the Vatican, lived there for 5 years, this and that. Blah, blah. Defrocked! I mean, he has to yell that one. He has to yell that word. Like, just so you know, I'm not hiding anything here. We're going to let you know he was defrocked! All right, what else? Let's hear some more of Dog. And his friend who used to be part of the Catholic Church.
With Rob Kegren here on the new Pope today, this is a fascinating development. He's 69 years of age, which is Pope Francis is 76. He's 69. So they went younger. They do that consciously or not consciously, just the way it worked out. How about that?
That's so many. Consciously? No, they unconsciously did it.
You pick a 70-year-old pope, you know, he's not going to be around as long.
Oh, boy.
That what is... I wouldn't give to hear the two of them talking about this.
Can you imagine that? I know. Both of them breaking down the Pope. Does an interview.
All right, now, does this Prevost, does he walk in here owing a debt of gratitude, sort of like Harry Truman? He's the president. He owes a debt of gratitude to that Democratic machine that got him the position. Does he owe a sort of debt of gratitude to these group of cardinals that got him this post, or does he walk in here completely independent in his role? How about that?
Doesn't every pope over the last century or longer than that has been elect? I mean, does he owe a sense of gratitude? I guess he's saying, is he his own man, or does he have to do what they tell him? I don't know what he's trying to say. He's the Pope. I don't think he has to do what anybody tells him.
Two last quickies. When do you think he was told? Last night? This morning at breakfast? An hour and a half ago? When did he know he got the job?
This morning at breakfast? Oh, dog. He just has a way of saying things. When do you think he knew? This morning over his pancakes? Sitting there with his scrambled eggs? Or was it later in the day? Oh, my God. You got one more? Or that's it?
Did somebody tell me that he was a Cub fan growing up as a kid? Is that true? Let me hear. Go ahead.
I read a little snippet. This is a few weeks ago, and I know it didn't say White Sox. I'm pretty sure he said he grew up as a Cubs fan. I don't know what part of Chicago he grew up in, but I'm almost positive it said Cubs, not White Sox.
So in other words, then, you're telling me in 1969 he was 14 years of age, and he lived through the Cubbies blowing an 8.5-game lead. That's what you're telling me against the Mets? Is that true?
He absolutely did. Now, was he watching it like you would have been watching it? Probably not. But he certainly, the story definitely said that he was a Cubs fan growing up.
How about that? Wow.
Now I got to hope this guy has already forgiven the Mets.
All right, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe he hated the Mets from 1969. Are you telling me that we just elected a Pope who had to live through the 69 Cubs debacle? That's so funny.
I know from experience, when you're a teenager and you watch your team collapse in horrific fashion,
it stays with you.
That sticks with you for a while.
No doubt. That definitely sticks with you. But he makes up for it because he had a Met fan live at the Vatican to watch him make his first papal address.
And I don't know if you saw, the Mets tweeted there was a Mets hat where.
Yeah.
And someone responded saying that was me. I wonder if it was really him.
Apparently they have the guy. Apparently the guy's talked to the media, told the story, went to Italy by himself. You know, there's like a whole...
I did see a story in Newsday, but yeah. Since I live in Central Block. Jersey, I don't subscribe to Newsday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So. Well, paywall.
Yeah, no, paywall. Who goes through the paywall anymore? But I heard someone mention that. I think Marco. We got to get Marco in here and ask him the question about that. But, yeah, that's classic dog. That would have been a great... That's a Mike and the Mad Dog segment for the ages. That would have been tremendous. That would have been so good. Especially they're both obviously fascinated by it. Mike, I'm telling you, I was here for it. When Mike... It wasn't just on the air. Mike was completely enthralled with the process of electing a new pope. He found it fascinating. He was listening to things. We were watching the news together in the control room during breaks. He was completely wrapped up in it. He found it very fast, which it is. It's fast. I'm almost disappointed it happened so quickly. I wanted to get some breakdown about what was going on. Maybe that's why Dog did the interview. It was like, this happened too fast. But... let's hope he is a Villanova fan, and let's hope he's got the Knicks on his side, because I don't think they need divine intervention to win this series, but it's not going to be easy. And as we move away from those two games and get ready for Saturday and the pressure mounts and our stomachs turn and the fear, and that's really the main thing. The main thing that I think we're all going to go through, the transition that we're all going to go through from the jubilation of that game and the inability to actually fathom what took place and that they won that game in the same manner as game one. Now we start to transition into Saturday, and by Saturday we're going to be nervous they're going to blow this whole thing. Like, I can feel it. I can sense it coming. And that's why I'm pushing back on it, because I feel like we should be more in the corner of this Knick team. We should feel like they have answers for this Celtic team, and we should feel like this team has proven that they can deal with momentum shift or losing a game. And again, I think the Pistons series was a huge part of this. I think the Pistons gave them a real tough battle, and the Knicks are battle-tested. And so that's why, like, you know, we'll see, but they have to win now. And if they lose, it'll be a far worse loss than if they just got the gentleman sweep that everybody saw coming. Like, it'll be a far worse gut punch after having won these two games in Boston. But I just heard it all day, and it started with Charles. It started last night with Barkley and Shaq talking about how important it is for the Knicks to, you know, they have to win Game 3. I can't subscribe to that. I want them to win Game 3. It'll be a huge bonus. If they lose Game 3, I'll tell you then they have to win Game 4. But, like, I believe in this team. And I'm not going to go, you know, too overboard if they lose one game, because they've proven to me they can come back. They've proven to me they're tough. And we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to get into the specifics, we will over the course. We'll get into some different matchups. I'm very interested to see. Like, honestly, right now, if you want to talk about the game, and I guess we can because I'm not on Saturday, although the game's not tonight. If you want to talk about, like, to me, it's not so much about the Knicks anymore. Like, it is now, what adjustments? Yeah, the Knicks have to make an adjustment not to fall behind 20 points. But this is all on the Celtics. What adjustments do they make? I mean, that's real. How did they adjust to Mitchell Robinson and Karl-Anthony Towns being on the floor at the same time? Because they struggled with it. How do they adjust to if the shots aren't falling? And what do they do offensively? Like, they have the, right now, the Knicks, we know what their game plan is, and they shouldn't change it. They should play, you know, theoretically, the same way they played in Game 1 and 2, maybe more offensively efficient and just overall better than they did in the first half of Games 1 and 2. But ultimately, they have the plan to beat the Boston Celtics. They've shown it in the first two games. They've accomplished it in the first two games. This is much more about how the Boston Celtics react to what the Knicks presented to them in the first two games. And I think they're a championship team with a lot of talent. I expect them to come out and play really well. But if they can keep it close, it's going to be the same thing now, because now it's in their heads. The goal of this game, without question, the goal of game number three is keep it close. I mean, if you're within 5 points in the fourth quarter, it's going to be in the Boston Celtics' head. There is no doubt about it. That's all the Knicks have to accomplish. And we'll see if they can do it. But to me, it's about the adjustments the Celtics have to make. The Knicks just keep, listen, again, be better, be more efficient in the first half. Don't allow it to balloon to a 20-point deficit. But ultimately, they have their answers. Now, I wanted to get an answer from you, because I thought, I was bouncing around the radio, so maybe I heard it somewhere else, but I was listening as I was coming in. Did you give the information on the Met fan at the Vatican? Was that you?
I did not.
Okay, not you. About, there was like a story that he went to the Vatican on like a last minute trip or something. That was not you?
I don't know what you're talking about. So definitely not me.
You don't even know what I'm talking about?
The Met fan at the Vatican? Oh, no, I mean, I know our new Pope is a White Sox fan. There was some confusion on that. Not a Cubs fan, White Sox fan.
Oh, Doggy got it wrong.
Yes.
Oh, we were just playing some of the sound.
Yes.
Hysterical.
White Sox.
Did he find out over breakfast?
Like, I mean,
this is so funny. All right, so he's a White Sox fan.
Yes. Okay. His brother confirmed it.
Oh, okay.
And there's a picture of him from the 05 World Series.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
That's circulating.
So that feels, Fleegs feels better, because he was worried, as Dog brought up, the 69 collapse of the Cubs and the role the Mets played in it. Maybe
no,
he'd be bitter.
I don't think
they're old
that.
Rivals. You still talk to Bob Huesler about the Cubs, he loses his mind. So, yeah, I'm relieved.
No, apparently it was just futility from the White Sox for many, many years until 05.
Okay. So
that's what he grew
up. I guess he didn't do much to help the White Sox last year.
No.
Wow.
Or this year.
Well, he wasn't the Pope.
You think he's got...
I don't know.
Does it change?
I don't know. Does the smoke give
point.
You power?
Less power until yesterday.
Much, But no, you didn't see the Met fan that went viral?
No.
They're like, they pan, there's a television shot. They like pan over the crowd, and there's a, like one guy just standing there in a Met hat. No? You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Was it Huesler? So clearly it wasn't you. No, it wasn't Huesler.
Okay.
Although I...
Wasn't Summers?
Wouldn't have shocked me. Yeah, it's Summers. dropping his coffee all over the place. Did you see that? I haven't had
that
a chance.
That was Sunday. Marco wasn't here.
I haven't had a chance. We were busy, a lot going on. I actually made a video, and I forgot to post it. Now it seems stupid because Gio kind of talked about it. Gio was talking. So Steve has been coming in to do his podcast that he's been doing, Me Here, You There, which is awesome. I'm glad he's got an opportunity to do that. But apparently he made a mess in Gio's studio, whatever, but I'm not kidding. I walked into the building Monday morning, and there was a coffee driplet path from the doors to our elevator.
Which, and to give you some understanding of this, it's basically a full block because our front door is not working, so we have to come in through the other side of the building.
Correct.
And you got to walk through the entire building, which is basically a New York block.
No doubt.
And walk to the other elevator.
It's as long as Charlton from Greenwich to Hudson.
Yep.
No doubt. It's that long. And when I say the entire way, turn the corner around where we have to turn, driplets right in front of the elevator, the entire way, it was no more than 6 inches between the next driplet.
There was still a little bit upstairs, too, which means there was probably some in the elevator you just couldn't tell because of the carpet.
Amazing. He literally spilled coffee, and I knew it was him. Like, the second I saw the coffee on the floor, I said, oh, Steve was in doing his podcast.
You know, Fleeks took a video of it and showed me the video. So without context, he was like, just look at this.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the video. The first thing I did is somebody bleeding out because I couldn't tell what the color was, but you see it. And then he was like, no, Steve was here. I was like, that's the coffee all the way through. Like, as soon
the
as
entire,
I
mean, it's incredible. The amount of coffee he spilled, it's probably like, it literally would probably be a cliched, like, cartoon or movie thing. He pours the coffee, he puts the top on or whatever.
He doesn't put a top on.
Oh yeah.
Ever.
Right, well, clearly. So, whatever. He pours the coffee, puts in the cream and sugar. He drinks it black
as well. He's a black, yep.
So, he pours the coffee in. He gets everything. He's walking. He gets to the car. He goes to take a sip. It's completely empty.
Yeah, pretty
like,
much.
That's got to be it. Because when I say the entire walkway had coffee stains every 6 inches, I can't imagine spilling that much coffee.
He had no idea.
He has no idea.
He doesn't realize that he leaves them by like the elevator bank.
He doesn't bring a bag really, so he's got like his headphones in one hand that comes with a battery pack. He's got like it's just like he's probably carrying three or four things with his cup of coffee.
But that's also leaving the coffees forgetful. This like the entire weight of the cup had to change significantly from the beginning to the end.
And the best part, I know the coffee cups here. He had to have, it's half the cup at least.
And the best part, you know he burned his hand, but it doesn't affect him. The man is not affected.
Oh my
He's
God.
Getting burned from one side of the building to the other. Does not affect him.
And it felt good. It felt like home. Like it was like a reassurance, like this still happens. A lot has changed in our lives, but Steve still spills coffee.
And by the way, the battery pack, think Bruce Arians on the sideline.
Yeah.
COVID. That's the battery pack.
No, it's an enormous battery pack because he's got to boost the level of volume to an outrageous. You could hear it as you walk in, you would hear the station playing through his headphones.
Well, Marco's the one who's been in the studio with him doing updates. It was one thing for us on the other side.
Yeah,
Marco in the same studio must have blown your ears off.
I would have to turn down my headphone volume all the way down because even though ours are, they're not the same. Like, you have a headphone volume for C-Mac. He's next to me. I have my own. But Steve's, because he would put that whatever Darth Vader contraption into it, it would jack up the entire studio.
Oh, really?
So I would walk in, and I would have to put it almost to the where it was no volume coming through, and it was still making my ears bleed.
Yeah.
Because it was just, it was out of control.
No. Steve is classic. I could not believe how long.
I mean, like, and we say all
now,
this,
you know,
and I can speak for all three of us.
Yeah.
We miss him every single day.
Oh, no, of course. I'm just like, you know, his wife must never lose track of him. She knows where he is at any time. Like, she knows exactly where he is.
The breadcrumbs.
Like, yeah, it's exactly. She wake up in the middle of the night. She's like, he's not in bed. You get up. You can follow him all the way to the bathroom.
Found to the bodega 3 blocks away.
She might have rules in the house, like did she draws a circle. This is where you're allowed to hand the food and drinks.
There's no doubt. He's not allowed to drink coffee in the living room. There's no doubt.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.